So we're back again. Go ahead.
I didn't have any more scripture verses on this subject, but I just, yeah. Did you have any more scripture verses, or what was the twist you were wanting to take?
Well, let me see. Let me read 2 Timothy 4:5 is another one. I know we could be here all night reading a whole bunch, but I have it right in front of me. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I was thinking about that. You know, we have to, obviously we're supposed to be watching and standing and waiting and continuing on and everything. And we also, like we're talking about here, endure the afflictions. And by enduring through all the afflictions, it's going to grow us. We're just talking about being perfect, mature, and it will help us to do the work of an evangelist, however that is that the Lord would call us to do it, you know, to proclaim his truth, preach the gospel, giving out gospel cards, and making full proof of the ministry. So if we do that, if we're doing the ministry that the Lord has called us and we're faithful in it, we're going to endure afflictions of it because the world's going to hate it, obviously. It's kind of like that circle. You do the good, the world hates it, and it goes around in a circle, and we're doing the will of God. We're going to mature through it, whereas the world looks at afflictions as a bad thing, and we look at it as, like Sister Kyle said about the flesh not wanting to. The flesh doesn't want to, but the Spirit says, bring it on, let's go. I want to grow and mature through it. And it's kind of like in the battlefield, you know, in the military and stuff, you got the gung-ho ones they want to be the Navy SEAL. They want to be on the front point. They're the ones that have the zeal and the energy, and they want to go through. They charge right into that battle. And the ones that turn and cower away from it are the ones that usually get swept up from the enemy from behind. So we want to be strong and grow through all these afflictions and endure through them, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
There is another scripture, I don't know if you've got it, but 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to
be a partaker of all these things.
Yeah, not be ashamed.
It's just a part of it. You can't separate the gospel from afflictions.
No, you can't. It was built on that.
Yeah.
Christ,
you need a lot of faith, really, to get through the trials. Because, as we know, Ephesians 6, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked or enemy, whatever it says there.
And yeah.
If you're doubting through the trials, it's like you don't have enough faith in God or love for him.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to fear him. And if we do trust him and love him, we know that he's going to carry us through it all, because by his power and his strength, by him and through him, we can do all things and grow. And we know he cares for us and he's with us through all the trials.
Yes, so. And what does it say? All things work for good. That's
amen.
A great one.
Yeah, in all these scripture verses, you know, it can be easy to talk about them when things aren't going bad in your life. I want to take that word bad back. When you're not having a bunch of trials in your life, we can sit here and it's easy to talk about it. But when you're going through trials and a sister hands you some of these verses, it stings.
Yeah.
But what does it do? You know what it does? I really, literally, it makes me stand up taller when I get some of those that, like, they slice right through you, and it's like, oh yeah. And it gives you strength as long as you allow it. But a lot of people, you know, they're like, yeah, I know. They don't allow it to go deep within them. Cut, open it up, bear the wound, cleanse it out, strengthen you, get up and get going. Right?
Yeah.
Which is what we need to do.
Yeah. That's a good point. And on the subject of overcoming everything through him, here's a scripture verse, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Loving not your life. That's like, my flesh wants this, but I want my way, you know?
Right.
But
Yeah, I love that one. That one is really strengthening. I like that when we go out on the streets, because you never know what you're going to face. And it reminds you, don't love this life. Don't love anything in it. Don't get comfortable. Don't be settled. I know we talk about van life and mobile life and stuff really keeping us going, because it is a flesh killer. Like our flesh is really killed every single day because there's like no settling. There's no comfort. There's temporary. It's just a little bit, but then we know we have to leave. But I like that because it keeps me on edge, because when trials and afflictions, bigger ones come, I'm already like doing it every day. Every single day I'm in the process of killing a lot of flesh. And so it does help. The more you kill it on an ongoing basis, you're used to it. So when something comes at you, you're already killing your flesh. You just got to kill a little bit more.
Yeah.
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 So I was thinking...
Like a soldier I was just thinking like a soldier not growing complacent.
Right, he's going to die if he does.
Yeah,
I have 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, here we go. We want to endure things for other people, too, and try to help them out. We may be enduring afflictions that are going to be for somebody else's benefit, too.
Yes.
You know,
like, yeah, we were actually talking about that. Like, something that you're going through might not even be just all for you. It could be to help someone else who's coming up.
Oh, right. Yeah, your whole life could be used for somebody else. We're just a vessel. So some of the trials that we go through, yeah, God cares, but we're his vessel. If his son can go through what he did, him, literally himself, how much more can we go through by his power to help us go through it? And so we may have a lot of discomfort. Some people may. In this world of freedom here, we don't really have that many. Or a life that we're not really pleased with, such as, like, to me, one of the hardest examples would be a woman married to an unbeliever that has a lot of sin in his life. And she has to live in the same house and endure through a lot of that. You know, a lot of us, we go out in the world, we do things, but we have some kind of a refuge to get away from it. A woman married to an unbeliever could have a lot of that to endure 24 hours a day when he's home, and if she's in the world, having to deal with all that. And so she may be having to endure through all that, maybe for him, maybe somebody who's watching. And that would be a hard life, but we have to be faithful in the calling that we're in, because it could be for the saving of another soul.
Yeah.
So we have to be willing to lay down our life and our pleasures and our comforts and our desires and whatever it is that we have, be willing to shed it all. And to live on an island like John did, maybe by himself, I don't know everything about that, or sitting in jail. And I have, that kind of brings me, unless you have other scripture verses, kind of a different angle to take on this, living through trials and the good things that can come out of them.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so what I did was I just went through and grabbed a handful of people that are good examples of living through trials that had great benefits, that God used them greatly, kind of like we can be his tools and his vessels. And when you look at some of these people's lives that they had to endure through, it's like, wow, that had to be hard. And we can take stock of that and then look at our life today and go, at this point, we don't have to go through some of that. So I just got a few. Some of these don't seem like they're too hard, but if you think about it, like Esther. So she's married to a king. Today, in our society, most people get the option to choose, you know, and to maybe make a decision on who they might marry. Well, she's under the king now and subject to him, and it was kind of different back then. But look at how God used her greatly in that, to the saving of her people.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. I don't have verses for all these, but some of them I do because it kind of explains it. Genesis 21, 17, and 18. So Hagar is the one... excuse me, that Sarah was her Sarah's handmaid, and she gave her to Abraham?
Yes.
So, because she obviously wasn't waiting patiently for the Lord, for what the Lord promised her for a child, and Hagar ended up having issues. Sarah had issues with Hagar, and so Genesis 21, 17 and 18. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called out to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." So she got going through there. He gave her some water and basically sent her off into the desert, and God looked after her and said there was going to be a great nation from that. I don't know where she ended up. I'd have to read. I don't know if you sisters know where she ended up after that. I just stopped reading and kept looking for more people here. And then... go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think if you read later that they did become a great nation.
And then Ruth. Ruth left everything behind. She left... And she's commended and called a virtuous woman because of it. So she left everybody and everything she knew. She was out in the fields working hard, gleaning the grain. And then we know that Christ came from her lineage. That couldn't have been easy, especially back then. And we'll look at Noah. We all know Noah had to go through a lot. Was it 120 years building the ark? And not only that, I loved what Brother Zello said. Day and night, then it was day, and then night, and then day. You know, I guess I never thought about it. He's on the ark, and he has to deal with all that. However, you know, what was it, 40 days he was on there?
Yeah, it was, well, at least for the rain, wasn't it? The rain, I think it was 40 days, and then after that, just waiting some more.
Right.
Just waiting.
Yep. Yeah, so we think about that. And then, not only that, it's just him and his family, and there's nobody else. I mean, think about that. You get off the ark, and you know the whole entire world has just been demolished. Everybody in it has perished. And now you're starting out ground zero, just the eight of you, if they were all there at the end when they got off. I mean... Think about that. Talk about that would be strange.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that would be.
That's a great trial to go through, and God built from there once again, multiplying on the earth and filling it up. And then Adam and Eve. So they're in the garden with God. I can't think of anything better that you could even obtain. And they sin and they get cast out of the garden.
Yeah, that would be hard.
That would be something hard to endure, and they had to keep pressing on. And then I was looking at, well, we know Job. He lost everything and his health, and he didn't even curse God. So I think that's probably when people talk about afflictions, they probably go right to Job.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's a really good example for us. And then if you sisters have anything you want to pop in and comment on here, I'm just kind of going through a list. Daniel.
Daniel, what about Joseph?
Yep, I got him on there too. And then go ahead.
Well, it's in Daniel 2 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the burning furnace because they didn't worship the false god.
Yep, exactly. I have them in here. I was going to read Daniel 2, 47 and 48. Because we see great works. Now, all these people that we've been talking about, great works of God have come through that, and they had to endure a lot, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Daniel 2, 47 and 48. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And then going down to Daniel 3, 17 and 18, you just mentioned them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just had to read this verse because I love it. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us up from the fiery, from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And we know they end up ruling with Daniel, or being with him and helping him. So we see some great works going on there, don't we? God using these people, and that's my point. All these afflictions these people had to go through, and obviously it was all in God's plan, and he set it up to where he would be glorified in it. Yeah, and many great things happened.
Yeah, like Joseph, it says, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Or however that verse goes, you know, they sold him into slavery, and then he ends up being a great ruler or whatever and feeding them in the famine.
Right, yeah, he was used to save his family and, store up for the family or famine. And these people had to endure through a lot, like Abraham. He endured through a ton, didn't he? And he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, too. What if God wanted him to go through with that?
Yeah.
I mean...
And I guess it could be a long time till you see any good, if ever, but you still do it because it's the right thing to do, I guess.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then Moses putting up with all those stiff-necked people.
I was just thinking of that, of him,
I'll tell you what, there'd probably be a lot of flesh killing in there dealing with a lot of people when God is showing himself and all his, everything that he's shown and done for them, and have to deal with those people and be the spokesperson for them. It would be like if anybody wanted to faint in his mind, but he kept going, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got a few of them from in the New Testament. Paul and Silas in jail, and the jailer here. So they're sitting in jail, the place where nobody really wants to be, because you really can't be doing anything. You can't be doing ministry. You don't get any comforts of the flesh. It's all about you in jail, and you have the Lord cut off from everything. So this is how God used in this area here, Acts 16:25-30. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So, people don't want to go to prison, but yet God may be using you there. People might not want to be in the situation they are, and it could look endless, and it could be like, "Lord, do I have to do this the rest of my life?" Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And Paul in prison, people were emboldened by his bonds.
Yes.
And that's Philippians 1:14. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And then we see the apostles rejoicing because they were beaten. And so those were just some of them that I had. We could be here longer doing a whole bunch more. But when we see those examples of the hardships that they had to go through and they kept pressing through, we get to see why. Because we're on the other side of it. So as we're going through our trials and our hardships and chastening and afflictions and persecutions, we might not see the whole picture of why until we get past it. We might be able to look back and see it, or we may be dead and never see it. And we don't really care, do we? Because all things work to the good of those who love the Lord, right?
Rock.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for his glory.
We just have to be focus on him and responsible for our lives, you know. I'm not looking around at everyone else who might have an easier life or something like that.
Yeah, because then we're not thankful, we're not content, we're lusting after something we don't have, we're not living in the day that the Lord has given us, we're not redeeming the time, right? There's a whole bunch of sins we could be doing just in that. We don't want that.
I was just thinking about even just... what you were saying made me think of being in the Lord's will. even if we go through hard things, we know it's His will for us, and there's comfort in that. So I thought of a scripture verse, John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we don't need to walk in darkness. Yes, it's a trial. Sometimes we may go through darkness, but if we keep clinging to Christ, at least we have Him and His light. Because I can't think of anything worse than being outside of Christ.
Right.
Like, we want to be in Him.
Yeah, because outside Him is death. We have no life. Yeah. We have no light. We have nothing. We're hopeless. We're in despair.
Yeah. The scripture says this light affliction, which is but for a moment, and we know, obviously, the suffering of being outside of Christ is going to be far, far, far worse than the sufferings we have today or could have in Christ, you know?
Right, exactly, yeah.
We're going to suffer for Him and not for our sins, I guess. Something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Philippians 3:7-8. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So when you suffer the loss of all things, it's all things, it could be. Your health, your life, your possessions, your loves, your aspirations, your dreams. Even if they were good and godly, you're going to lose all them. You're going to lose maybe what it is that you were trying to do in your ministry, and it's all going to be what God wants it to be. And like Sister Cara, I think, just said, you know, going through all this, it's God's will. We know that, and we can take a comfort in that. And I think about that when we're on the street and we got to deal with some, like, super, super angry people. And I think, one of us might be going back to the van by ourselves without the other partner someday. One might be in jail, one might be killed or hurt or something. And we have to be okay with that. Losing a child, losing a loved one that you were trying to share the gospel with or whatever it is. We've seen a lot of people's earthly families being removed, you know, God killing them. They didn't seem like they weren't serving the Lord. The fruit of it was those who hated the Lord, and He can take them out. We have to deal with all these, and that would be like the pain of seeing the loss of a loved one, but we can't be weeping over it because God's glory is more important than that. So that's one more thing we have to kill within our flesh. It's like an ongoing battle, killing the flesh, but yet standing strong. And at some point, you kind of got to get to the point where when you're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, we just talked about that, I think, before the audio, about having empathy and having feelings because we are human and we do have flesh, but yet not letting them take over and having that Spirit and that strength. It's that medium point we have to walk in.
Yeah, we also get the joy of the Lord through our trials, and it's no good. We can't focus on our trials. We have to focus on Christ. It's for Him and through Him that we can do all of these things, because we can't do it without Him.
Amen. And here, John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in ye you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen. I use that one a lot.
When I read that, I read it as a command, not a suggestion.
Yeah, like the commands to rejoice as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like those. Go ahead.
No, just that scripture from Job comes to mind as well. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him.
He's
worthy of our trust. Obviously, He made us and owns us, and it has the final, as it says, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is that the one?
And then our trust grows through all these trials and afflictions, uncomfortable things in life, right?
Yes, it does. Because it's like every time, everyone is a step of faith, perhaps.
Right.
that we go through, and then when you're through it, oh, I'm still here, I'm still alive. The Lord carried me through it, and okay, I'm ready for the next one.
Right.
Or more prepared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it also keeps you humble and poor in spirit, I think.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
So, as we're saying, a whole lot of good things can come out of trials.
It does. It can knock us down a notch, can it? Sometimes we'll think we're something. We got to be careful of that, lest we fall, as the scriptures say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's all rejoice when we go through any of these trials, tribulations, afflictions, any of these. Let's remind us, each of us sisters, to keep rejoicing in that. Sister Kyle,
yeah.
You mentioned that. Was it today? I don't know. I lose track of it. And I was like, yeah, good point. I think that's what we were talking, you mentioned or something, sent that in to me. About rejoicing in persecutions or trials. I might be thinking of something else because I thought that was
today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we can, as a body, you know, as we can all bear one another's burdens and lift one another up and rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And
right.
So.
Yeah, and there's a time and a season for it all. So as we go through some things that might be sorrowful, we'll weep with those who weep, but then that's only going to last a certain amount of time, and then we're going to say, we got to get up and get going because guess who's roaring around?
Yeah.
Seeking somebody to devour, yeah.
Yeah,
and we rely on his strength. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to end this audio here. That was a really good talk.